Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's March the 24th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, 25x25 is teaming up with USDA to promote biofuels. Scientists have cloned pigs high in omega-3, and a new library filled with soybean DNA has been developed. Dave Dickey is away this week, so I'll have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then we'll hear from pork producers. The national organization has some ideas on how its members can get the most out of high-priced feed. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit like this, May contract at $10.20. Up 32.5 today. July futures at 10.18.5, up 32 cents. May corn futures at 5.24¾, 17¼ higher. July at 5.37, up 17¾. September 5.40, 17 cents higher. And December contract at 5.39¾, up 18.5. Next year's December for 2009 at $5.19, up 15¾ today. May bean meal futures finished the day like this. The contract at $330.30, up $20 limit. July futures at $334.50, up the 20 limit as well. May bean oil at $55.77, up $1.37. And July at $56.62, up $1.48. May soybeans at $12.57, up the 50 cent limit. July up 50 at $12.72. And the August to $12.66, up 50 for the day. November soybeans at $11.89, gained 49 cents today. Live cattle futures at $90.42.5, finished 25 cents lower. June futures at $90.85, down 12.5 cents. April feeder cattle for the day, 75 cents lower at $103.27.5, and the May at $106.37.5, down 97.5 cents. April lean hog futures at $56.30. They finished 2.5 cents lower on this Monday afternoon. Outside markets look like this. Crude oil futures, May contract, $100.95, down 89 cents a barrel. June futures at $100.30. They're down 76 cents a barrel at this hour. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,575 now stands 214 points higher, and the U.S. dollar is trading at 72.97. That's up 0.23 for the day. Gold futures, March contract at 9.18.30, down $1.30. And the April futures at 9.18.70, down $1.30 as well. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. A little calmer than it has been in recent weeks. In the north, Mike says, and in central parts of Indiana, it'll be mostly cloudy. A chance for a little light rain. Some showers of rain and mixed snow mainly overnight. In central Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy. In the south, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 28 in eastern Indiana to 40 in the western parts of Illinois. Tuesday in northern Illinois, a chance for a few showers early, then partly sunny, elsewhere mostly cloudy. A widely scattered set of showers is possible. Highs Tuesday will range from 47 in northern Indiana to 62 in the southern part of Illinois. The extended forecast says a limited precip for the first half of the work week will allow more time for fields in the southern portion of the two-state area to dry down, but a storm system is expected to move from the northern plains into the central part of Illinois around midweek. A frontal boundary will stall across the region and focus some potentially more heavy rain and increased flooding there, especially in the southern third of that region. High temps this week will be near average to a few degrees below average, while overnight lows will trend warmer than average as mostly cloudy conditions are expected to dominate the weather again this week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Well, on a Monday afternoon, the folks from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, join us. Usually we talk with their senior grains analyst. He's off this week. And we get to talk with Pete Manhart this afternoon. Hi, Pete. Thanks for filling in today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tell me about the marketplace, a little turnaround on a Monday.
Well, we had the financial markets stabilized and actually going up, and the outside markets going up, and that kept people from saying, get me out. The funds got out heavily last week due to needing funds from this market over into their other places where they were bleeding badly, and that helped push it down. Industry thought it was overpushed. It was a light trade today on the rebound back, but wouldn't be surprised to see it rebound, you know, a third to halfway back, as it does a lot of times.
As you take a look at this kind of turnaround, is there enough here yet to change direction back to the upside after a rough week the last week and even the week before?
I think it could be on beans because we were down over 3 from the low. I frame the high. I mean, we were down over $3, but corn only down about 70 cents from the highs, so, and we're back up 18 today. I think corn still, people are looking at weather here, and they're looking at acreage to help push it higher. On beans, I think the interesting thing is the strike in South America is actually working, and we're getting bean stuff, old crop bean stuff moved here from there, and that's tightening our supply on old crop.
Tell me a little bit about what producers are asking you. I suspect they're asking you how to protect these kind of high prices in the face of what maybe they consider a downward trend for beans in particular. Is there anything that they can do at this point after they've locked in their crop insurance? Should they be putting some puts on? Are there call strategies that they can use as well?
Well, it depends on how much grain they've got sold, but we would, whatever they have unsold for the 08 season, be looking at putting puts on. If their crop insurance has limits on the downside, we'd be for at least looking at the 10 to 10.50 puts on beans. On corn, you might look at the $4 ones. We're not as worried about the corn on the downside as we are beans because of the idea that we're going to have less corn and more bean acres, but just buying straight November puts at $10, $10.50, $11. If you bought $13 puts the other day at $1.40, they're worth probably a dollar more now on this downside move. So if you aren't selling cash, be looking at protecting that high price that we do have.
You mentioned acreage. We're a week away from the acreage report from USDA now, due to be released at 7:30 a.m. Central Time on Monday. What kind of numbers are you seeing, and what do you think?
Well, I think the average of the numbers are somewhere in the 87, 88 on corn, which would be 5 to 6 lower, and maybe 7 to 8 higher on beans, somewhere in the 68 to 70 area. I think the weather will have a lot to do with that. I think right now there's plenty of seed corn around if people want to plant more corn, and not very much good seed for beans around to 75 to 80 maybe germination. So weather this spring, where everybody thinks we're behind already, but it's, you know, March 24th. If we stay wet and cold another 10 days, there will be some worries about, you know, will we get everything planted and will we go to more beans and all of that stuff. It's the two season, too hot, too cold, too wet, or too dry somewhere.
It always is. What are your expectations for the rest of the trading week in Chicago? Will it be volatile yet, or will we head into this period just before the USDA report a little calmer than we've seen in recent weeks?
Well, we had lighter trade today, but it sure wasn't any less volatile. I would think we would have maybe a little lighter trade, a little evening up, but I think we will bounce back from that oversoldness from last week, where it was basically just a get-me-out attitude, especially by the funds. And funds were actually light buyers today.
Anything else that we ought to discuss before I let you go for the day?
Well, that report is really just a what people think they're going to plant, and the weather still can determine that. A year ago, we thought we got a late start, and then once we did start, it was just boom, we got done. So we still have lots of weather to go through in the summer, and we're going to still be very volatile. We need to protect those downside prices.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
That's Pete Manhart. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Monday afternoons. Usually we talk, of course, with the senior grain analyst at Bates Commodities. His name is Kurt Kimmel.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILLAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILLAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Don't forget to stay with us all the way through 36 after the hour at 32 after the hour. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. The folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us. A quick look at this evening's forecast says in the north and the central sections of Indiana for the two-state region, it'll be mostly cloudy. Little rain, some showers mixed with rain and snow, mainly overnight. In central Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy. In the south, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 28 in eastern Indiana to 40. In the western parts of Illinois this evening. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. In today's agricultural news, Bead 2 is coming from 25 by 25 in USDA to increase awareness and knowledge about the sustainable production of ag-based and natural resource-based renewable energy. The 25 by 25 Alliance is partnering with USDA's Research, Education, and Economics Agency to host a second set of bioenergy awareness days. The events are scheduled for June the 17th through the 22nd in Washington, D.C. The events will cover a number of topics, including increasing the production of renewable energy and alternative fuels, delivering that energy to consumers, meeting the demand for consumers, and enhancing sustainability, conservation, and energy efficiency. A soy library has been put in place to benefit researchers in the industry. Geneticists from USDA's Ag Research Service are creating a library of thousands of DNA markers as part of their studies at the Soybean Genomics and Improvement Research Unit in Beltsville, Maryland. The new project is expected to result in soybean varieties with improved yield, pest resistance, protein and oil quality, and quantity and more. USDA says the library will serve as a valuable resource for soybean researchers and breeders when characterizing the genetic variations available for soybean improvement. The United Soybean Board is funding the three-year program. Scientists have cloned pigs high in omega-3. Omega-3 fatty acids are well known to protect against heart disease. However, meat from pigs, cows, and other mammals typically have higher levels of omega-6 fatty acids. That's because of the diet of the grains that are rich in fat and the inability to transform it into healthier versions. Now scientists at the University of Pittsburgh and the University of Missouri have successfully produced six pigs that have tested positive for a gene that has the ability to synthesize omega-3 fatty acids. The accomplishment was completed like this. A team from the U of Pittsburgh transferred the roundworm gene FAT1 to pig fetal cells. After that, a team from the University of Missouri cloned those cells and transferred them into 14 pig mothers. 12 pigs were born, 6 of them tested positive for the gene and its ability to synthesize the omega-3 fatty acids. Pork generally contains roughly 15% omega-6 fatty acids and only 1% omega-3. In contrast, omega-3s made up 8% of the engineered pig's total muscle fat. 3 of the 6 piglets subsequently had to be killed because of heart defects. These defects appear to be a result of the cloning process rather than the introduction of the gene. The result trials are published online in Nature Biotechnology. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm Todd Gleason, urging you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find daily agricultural programming along with the latest USDA numbers and a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's absolutely free and all about marketing your crop. It's right there at willag.org on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe. Up next, the Pork Checkoff offers some practical ideas to address high feed and production costs. The Pork Checkoff has organized a resource for pork producers dealing with rising feed and production costs. These fact sheets are available at pork.org. Mark Bogus, Pork Checkoff Director of Animal Sciences, says there are considerations to increasing feed efficiencies.
There's probably not a whole lot of great big things, but there are some little things, particularly associated with making sure that your rations are very, very accurate, that you're not overfeeding or underfeeding expensive ingredients, nutrients such as energy or protein. Typically in the past, we've worried more about the cost of protein than we do relative to energy, but that's not the case anymore. And for a lot of you, energy is going to be more expensive now than protein. So you're going to have to kind of look at the way you balance your rations a little differently.
Bogus says it's also important to make sure the feed budget fits each class of pigs.
So in other words, that you know that you're feeding the right amount of feed to a 50-pound pig and that ration is balanced properly, for example. Those things can help you be as efficient as possible, and you'd be surprised at how many mistakes are probably out there or how many of these rations could be tweaked just a little bit and be made more efficient and save money in that regard. So there's a couple examples where you could probably make some pretty significant inroads.
To be profitable, he says producers may need to take a fresh look at their management decisions. Bogus says that includes a renewed focus on marketing.
As a pig gets heavier, they're going to be incrementally less efficient. So I would just advise each individual producer to look at his marketing grid and find those areas at the lightest end possible where you can maximize your return and get those pigs out as soon as possible. It may be a situation where even giving up a little bit on your grid might make you a little more money if you can save that much relative to additional feed costs and time on feed and that kind of thing. So just try to be as efficient as possible there. And I think it'd be really wise right now to really be culling hard on those pigs when they come out of the nursery. Don't move pigs to the finished buildings that are not going to be productive, not going to keep up. Figure out a way to find some kind of a roaster market or market those as feeder pigs somehow if possible, just so that those pigs that are going to be marginally productive and profitable anyway aren't weighing you down any further.
For more information, pork producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Just go to pork.org or call 800-456-PORK.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. Usually we talk with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Not available this afternoon, but Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois is and has agreed to talk with us today. Hi, Paul. Thanks for filling
in. Good afternoon, Todd, and a nice, cool, crisp, beautiful day today.
Well, we'd kind of like to heat it up, see a little sunshine and maybe some wind to dry some things out, but that's not happened yet. Although I suspect as we get further into the spring, it will take place. Tell me about the marketplace. In particular, I was taking a look at the charts, and we put in an outside up day in Chicago for the soybeans and filled a gap from last week. And we nearly did the same thing in the corn. That, I would think, would be a fairly decent sign for a move higher.
One thing, if we go back to Good Friday, we understand the world markets were strong. The Chinese futures market was strong. The Pacific Rim markets were strong, and there was basically the panic was over with. This Argentine strike by the farmers in Argentina has created some shifting of cargoes from Argentina to the U.S., and as a result of that, it was definitely a different tone. And, for example, J.P. Morgan Chase even raised their bid on Bear Stearns up to $10 a share. And that sent a message in the financial and also the commodity markets that things weren't as bad, and we did see a good tone, a weaker tone overnight, and then the market gained strength, this general support in the commodity market. So obviously the tremendous liquidation seemed to be over with. We also saw a very definite trend today, people replacing new crop sales today in the options market, and that was also noted in the marketplace. Also, before new crop beans rallied late in the day and old crop were up the limit, we did see this strength in the old crop beans and weakness in the new crop, and you know, it was very evident in the feeling, of course, in the country is less corn planted, more soybeans being planted, and that. And then also I went to Carbondale this weekend, and it does look like it's a beautiful, soft red winter wheat crop that's being started here in the U.S. in Illinois. I saw some water, high water at Rin Lake and Crab Orchard Lake and everything else, but I didn't see any wheat underwater. It looked like a beautiful crop. And that's what I'm hearing from people throughout the Midwest.
I suppose maybe we ought to take that wheat crop up because producers would, if they hadn't priced it out, probably, I guess, are kicking themselves at this point. What should they do?
Well, as far as wheat's concerned, there still is this nagging problem of 4 to 6 million acres of not enough acreage in the U.S. to make everything meet. But we do think the wheat probably is the most vulnerable crop, and we do see a good world supply of wheat coming on. So be careful and make sure you have it. I think the one thing we have to go through here is that we are going into a period that people are going to watch the winter wheat crop in the West for rainfall, and that we are going into a 10-day period where that western one quarter of the crop does need some rain, and there's just basically very little in sight, and that could also be a supportive. But as a rule, it does look like wheat prices are going to go down. Now, is the surprise on the March planting intentions report going to be enough to accelerate corn? And the answer is probably a yes.
And do you have bids for the day there?
Oakland cash corn tonight is $4.93, and the soybean price is $11.92. And have a profitable day.
You too. Thanks much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, filling in for the folks at the Andersons this afternoon who we could not reach. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather in just 2 minutes.
It's National Chocolate-Covered Raisins Day. Historians say somewhere around 1000 BC, the first vineyards for raisins were established in Persia. Trade routes brought raisins to Greece and Rome, where they were eaten in large quantities. But it was not until the 11th century that raisins made a splash in Europe, when knights, returning from the Crusades, brought raisins home with them. By the way, it takes 4 tons of grapes to make 1 ton of raisins. On this day in agricultural history in 1765, the British Parliament passed the Quartering Act, which required American colonists to provide temporary quarters, food, alcohol, fire, candles, vinegar, salt, bedding, and utensils to British troops stationed in their towns in times of peace. The act was circumvented in all colonies other than Pennsylvania. In 1802, a patent was issued for the first full-sized road locomotive. It traveled in South Wales over 9 miles at a speed of 5 miles per hour, and it could pull a 10-ton load, 5 wagons and 70 men. In 1896, Clement Hardy received a patent for the rotary disc plow. His patent described a rotary disc plow constructed with one or more plowing discs arranged diagonally to the line of draft and supported by furrow and land side wheels and a suitable metal or wooden frame. In 1989, on this date, the worst oil spill in U.S. history occurred as the Exxon Valdez ran aground in Alaska's Prime William Sound and eventually leaked 11 million gallons of crude oil. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. On the line with us this afternoon, Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing?
Well, I'm a little colder than I want to be on a, 24th day of March.
Happy spring, right?
Yeah, happy spring. It's the Midwest and it's Illinois. Are we going to warm up anytime soon?
Well, not in the next 7 days here. Actually, from a precip standpoint, frontal system will start to drape across Illinois late this week, and from Thursday to Saturday will be visiting us and bringing more rainfall to the region. Shift a little farther north than where we've seen just the copious amount of rainfall over the past week down across the Boot Hill of Missouri and the southern portions of Illinois and Indiana. So the precip zone's moving north, but temps are only going to be down southern Illinois, upper 50s, low 60s, and lows in the upper 30s to low 40s here over the next week.
Tell me a little bit more about the Boot Hill, Missouri. I heard that the White River in Arkansas, which would be just below that, was at flood stage. Are they still at risk for very much longer?
The fact that they've had so much rainfall, not only in the past week, but that's been a pretty favored zone of rainfall over the past month, means that the soils are completely saturated. So the fact that the rivers are over their banks and that there's another event coming up later this week, it's not going to help the flood to dissipate at any level yet. So you're probably still looking at flood stage and above flood stage for the next week until you get past this event. And then there are some indications that this rainfall zone starts to shift farther north out of that area, and so maybe you start to dry out, relatively speaking, versus the heavy rainfall they've seen next week and into the first week of April.
And farmers here in the Midwest would just as soon dry out in this upper part where you're talking further north, I suppose. Will there be much rainfall and temperatures will be warmer next week?
Well, yeah, starting in next week and particularly as you get into the first week of April, things should start to moderate out of this colder than normal pattern that we've been seeing for the majority of March and since the middle of February, really. So as it's not really the next 7 to 10 days, but the next week beyond that is when the pattern starts to relax. You start to shift that rainfall zone farther north, and so things should start to dry out. And then thinking from a corn planting standpoint, things should start to get better as you look in the first part of April. But the next 7 to 10 days still looks like it's going to be tough to get any fieldwork preparation done at this standpoint.
Other places around the globe you've been watching?
Well, China continues to advance here above normal in terms of progress of getting fieldwork preparation done and starting to think about planting as it's been warmer than normal in that part of the globe, in that part of the world. So things in China are progressing quite rapidly. And for the harvest down south across South America, things are starting to look like you'll get less active precip, particularly across Brazil, as you look in the next week in early April, and so the harvest progress should pick up rather rapidly there.
And do you have a pulse on what's been happening in India and the wheat crop there?
A wheat crop's been dry, no doubt about it. They haven't seen rain in months in India in the wheat belt. So while irrigation's okay, the places that are not irrigated, there's very dry and big issues at this point.
Thanks much, Josh. We appreciate you being with us. Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Stay safe out there as you get those planters and field cultivators ready to go for the growing season. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.